The world slowed down and stopped. Stasis. The Hellbreed stared at me, force crackling over him in an egg-shaped shield. Everything hung in the air. Drops of blood, shattered bits. A traitor falling from the roof where he had tried to get some height to leap down on Saul Dust Circle, who had finished rolling aside and was ready for him, a Bowie knife somehow appearing in his hand, a random dart of light jetting from the blade. The breed was old.
I'll bet he's produced hellfire in at least the green spectrum.
Anything above red is seriously bad news. And anything above yellow means kiss your ass goodbye, Hunter, it's time to die. Unless you have a share of Hellbreed strength yourself. My aura extended, spiked with a random pattern of brightness, a hard shell of etheric energy that makes sure I stay in me, and nothing else gets in. The sun sword roared with flame, more than I'd ever seen, a tail of orange and yellow like the sun's corona spiking up to touch the ceiling, heat shimmering. I dared him, silently, and knew that he read it in my eyes, in the slight lift of my chin, and the way my fingers grew almost soft on the hilt. You never, ever clutch a sword. It makes the strike inaccurate. His answer was just as slight, a shifting of weight, an infinitely small smile lifting the corners of his sculpted lips. I realized he was grinning under his thatch of wet, dark hair, and I saw his eyes were deadly, threatening to suck me in and drown me. Riptide. Grabbing, whirling, sinking arms and legs weighted with lead. My eyelids were suddenly drowsy, heavy as a guilty conscience, and just as deadening.
Why are his eyes so deep?
My thought glittered like a flung knife, like one of my knives flying true, its load of silver along the flat of the blade where it couldn't be sharpened off, glowing with white flame as it streaked under the breed's uplifted arm and socked home in his ribs. I came back to myself. The sun sword swept down, painting a fiery streak after its edge. The clash, sun sword versus Hellbreed, was like Mack trucks colliding. The shockwave threw me back, clutching at the hilt. Debris rained down from the roof. The collision blew every bit of glass in the place, including the light bulbs and the bottles over the bar. The sword dimmed. Darkness closed, almost absolute around me. Light filtering down through the shattered roof. A hot, wet trickle of blood slid down from my nose, matching the hot trickles dripping out of my eyes. I collapsed to my knees. I was only vaguely aware of Saul Dust Circle's arm under my shoulders as I bowed over backward.
Don't throw up, Jill. You're alive. You survived. Don't puke. Not in front of the wearer.
What the fuck was that?
Saul sounded a little less than calm.
A lot less.
It was the first time I've ever heard a wearer actually sound frantic.
Don't worry, country boy. Everything's under control.
I wanted to reassure him, but my mouth, for once, didn't obey my brain.
You threw my knife.
Look at this mess. I am going to be hard-pressed to make amends for this kiss. You really do know how to complicate matters.
Oh, Christ. Not now.
Who the fuck is that?
Dust Circle jerked me upright, rising to his feet with one fluid motion.
Friendly.
I bent over, and my stomach did its level best to rebel against the rest of me.
He doesn't smell friendly.
He doesn't smell friendly because he isn't. But if you jump him, it's going to get real ugly in here real quick.
Are you all right?
Fine.
You'd better put a leash on that wear of yours.
Perry stood in a fall of orange city light creeping through the shattered ceiling. It was cold.
Do you know what you just did?
Fuck you.
Charming. Do you think we should? It would certainly put a whole new shine on our relationship. I repeat, my dearest, do you know what you just did?
Yeah, I just cleared out the random and almost got hooked like a fish by a breed with dark eyes and probably an accent. You know how I am for those tall, dark, and gruesome boys.
I couldn't get in enough oxygen to say all that. So I settled for glaring at him.
You look dazed.
No shit, I look dazed. I've never met anything like that before. Jesus Christ, Mikio, why didn't you tell me about this? I could handle everything a lot better if you were here.
Made a hell of a mess. Nice trick with the sword.
Nice trick, hell. You saved me by throwing my own knife. Was it the one I tossed at the traitor who almost jumped you?
I faced Perry over the heave-cracked floor of what had been, a very short time ago, a thumping, jiving traitor nightclub.
I sure know how to throw a party, don't I? What the fuck are you doing here, Perry?
Saving your delicate skin from being peeled off in strips. Do you know who that was?
The Hellbreed cocked his head. He was pristine in a pale suit, as always, and the lamps of his eyes scored a hole in the darkness. They weren't deepening to indigo yet, which was a good thing. If Perry got seriously pissed off, I was in no condition to handle it right now.
Some jackshit little hellbreed with a nice pair of eyes. I repeat, Pericles, what the ever-loving fuck are you doing here?
I told you, saving you. You just committed violence against Novojte Neve Arcady.
I froze. Passing out began to sound like a really good idea.
Who?
The head hellbreed of New York and the accompanying territories, where? Our little kiss just clocked the highest-ranking breed on the East Coast, here on diplomatic business, I might add, over the head, and gave him a sunburn. And you, where? You tossed a knife into his ribs. Oh, Jill. My pretty little Jillian. Do you have any idea what you are going to owe me when this is all over?
Perry had hied himself off to do whatever it was Hellbreed do when they aren't fucking with me. He was also going to go and do his diplomatic best with the head of New York's Nightside. I wished him luck. Lots of luck. Of course, Perry thought I was still useful for his purposes, so he didn't want Arcady to kill me. On that count, at least, I was in total agreement, even if Perry was a Hellbreed. Back at the warehouse, I'd fastened a copper cuff over my wrist, and the resultant blunting of preternatural acuity was both welcome and frightening. I could smell onions sautéing. Saul was messing around in the kitchen again. My coat dripped thick red and thin rotting blackness on the floor. I had to hose it off and dispose of it, transfer everything into the pockets of a new black leather trench. I could have died. If it weren't for the wear, I would have died. The breed had me hooked neat as a trout. He could have just reeled me in and, well, I just shivered, and shivered some more. The Sun Sword was back at Galena's, in her greenhouse for charging all day tomorrow under the near desert sun. She hadn't said anything, but her eyes had gotten big, and she'd taken the sword without comment. I hadn't stayed in her shop long. I was done. Stick a fork in me. In the kitchen, I reached up on tiptoes to get the bottle of Jack Daniels down. I knocked it off the shelf, but I caught it.
Steak and onions. I'm not sure if you like them, but no steak is complete without. You need protein. And salad, I think. We don't have fresh bread, so it'll have to be store-bought wheat with butter. Sorry about that.
I twisted the cap off the bottle, eyed the glasses on the shelf underneath the liquor.
Fuck that.
I took a long pull straight from the bottle itself. Most alcohol just goes straight through me. My metabolism runs so high now. It was a goddamn shame, because getting drunk seemed like a fabulous idea. It burned all the way down. And I could finally admit what was bothering me.
Oh, Jill. My pretty little Jillian. Do you have any idea what you are going to owe me when this is all over?
I do have an idea, and a good one.
Negotiating with Novojte fell under the amorphous heading of other services that were covered in the bargain I'd made with Perry. at a price of a few more hours of my time. It wasn't going to be pleasant. Especially if he decided to fiddle painfully, or otherwise, with the scar again. Or if he decided he wanted my blood to flow instead of his. It was always a possibility.
I am more worried about Perry than I am about the other Hellbreed, and that's not right, damn it. Jesus.
Saul's hand closed around the bottle, pushing it away from my lips.
Easy there, Hunter. Easy.
Easy? It's not going to be easy paying Perry what I owe. It's not going to be easy dealing with Navashte in my town. And it isn't going to be easy to get my hands to stay still and my brain to stop running in circles.
There is nothing easy about this. Fuck off. He set the bottle down on the counter, then did something very odd. The wearer took my face in his hands, his palms warm against my cheeks, and stared down at me. His gaze was dark. Not the black pit of a Hellbreed's, but a human darkness. For all of the unblinking patience of a cat that lived behind it. I saw something pass through his eyes, a long, low shape like a hunting animal, muscularly padding through sun and shade. Most people find my gaze hard to meet because of the mismatch. It disturbs them on a deep, nonverbal level. I smelled the musk of a male ware and the smell of food mixing together. Good smells, both of them, and a heady pairing. Saul's thumb stroked my right cheekbone.
Let it out. Just let it out, Jill. Let it go away.
He didn't look away. He stared right into my eyes as if it didn't bother him a bit, as if they were normal and natural. Then he leaned down, his eyes not closing, and his mouth brushed mine. I leapt, guiltily, almost knocking foreheads with him, but his fingers tightened and I stilled, letting him touch my lips with his. One of his hands curled warm around my nape, and my mouth opened to his.
I haven't been this close to anyone in so long. Not since Mikhail.
The smell of musk and male filled my nose, heat sliding down to detonate in my belly, my eyes fluttering closed as my fingers came up and wrapped in his hair. He pressed forward, his hands sliding down to flatten on my back, and I found myself with my back to the counters, balancing on one leg because I'd ended up wrapping the other one around him, his mouth open and greedy but curiously polite. As if he didn't want to press the kiss any further than I wanted. As if he was asking me. He tasted like moonlight. And the taint of whiskey passed from my tongue to his, came back laden with another, newer taste. The one we made together. A mixture of my own breath and someone else's. My head tipped back. His mouth traveled down past my jawline, onto the curve of my throat and hovered over my pulse. The scar had turned hot and tight on my wrist under cold copper, and I realized I was naked under the t-shirt, and his hands had roamed, and that I could feel the harsh material of his jeans against the inside of my thigh. I turned into a statue. My breath stilled, stopped. And I waited for the violence to explode. I waited for pain, for the sharp strike of a hand against my cheek, for him to shove me to the floor, a kick catching me under the ribs with a sound like red fury. Even with Mikhail, I had sometimes frozen, despite his gentleness. Saul froze too, a curious stillness, his warm hands flattened against my back and his face in my throat. I felt the hard prickle of a tooth through his lips. He'd paused right over my jugular.
Of course. That would be the most sensitive, most highly charged spot for a wear.
The trust implied in letting his teeth near my throat was tremendous. My fingers had turned to wood in the silky pelt of his hair. My breath held itself as long as it could. He didn't move. He stirred then, set me gently back on my feet, his arm still around me and my cheek pressed against his chest. It felt safe to rest there, leaning against him, a safety I could never remember feeling anywhere else. A safety I found I liked a little too much.
Cancel that. A whole lot too much. He's just a country boy ware full of disdain, and he thinks he knows everything. Looking down his nose at me for making a bargain that allows me to fight better.
If he wasn't an enemy, neither was he a friend.
Then why is he holding me? Why has he spent all day bumping into me, herding me around? He saved me with my own knife.
Coherent thought returned. My heart pounded against my ribs like an overcharged motor.
What the fuck just happened? Jesus Christ, what the fuck is this? They never... Shit! I can't even finish a sentence inside my own head.
You go change. I'll finish dinner. You need some ballast in you.
He let go of me. After taking one last long inhale in the vicinity of my hair, smelling me, taking me deep in his lungs, marking me in his memory. It was an oddly intimate thing, and I wondered what it meant. I dredged real deep for something smart to say.
What the fuck?
Jill.
He gave me one dark look, shaking his hair down over his eyes and glaring.
Go get changed. I'm making you dinner.
Stubborn endurance has always been enough for me. Too much sometimes. But this time, my courage failed me. I fled the kitchen and headed for my bedroom. As I arrived, the phone rang. I scooped it up.
Please do not let it be Perry.
Yeah?
Kismet. It's John Clark from New York. You set us to do some digging about a disappeared breed named Chenchi. Real blonde, lots of trouble.
Yeah, I did. Do you have anything? Anything at all?
You won't believe this. Her name's Chenchi, all right. But that's only half of it. Guess who her daddy is?
I just got almost killed, and then kissed by a ware. I think my threshold of disbelief is a lot lower than I started out with tonight.
I give up. Who?
Navashte Neve fucking Arcade. Old Arkimbark himself. Oh, and there's more.
He's her father?
The strength ran out of my legs. I sat down hard on the bed. Saul had made it neatly, and I felt a moment's guilt at screwing up the pristine blankets.
Take it from the top, John. I'm listening.
I was scraping the last bit of grilled onions up from my plate. I snagged the phone with one hand and reached down to yank at my boots.
Jill here.
Jill, it's Harp. Glad you're home. Listen,
Clark from New York called. I have an earful for you.
Save it to tell me in person. You and Saul need to hightail it down here. We found what we think is the main nest.
Saul took the empty plate from my hand with a nod. He'd been quiet all through dinner, neither of us meeting the other's eyes.
Where are you?
She gave me the address, a house down on the south border of Ridgefield, the edge of my territory.
We're keeping the press off, but that won't last long. When can you be here?
It's gotta be a 30-minute drive.
I'll be there in 15. Is Monty there? Get the ranking officer to tell the traffic detail I'm going to break a few laws and get someone to cut traffic for me. How many bodies do we have?
4 for sure, but I'm not certain about anything else. There's sorcery here, Jill. I hope like hell you have some good news.
Sorcery meant something they needed a hunter to look at. Something possibly deadly. I finished pulling my boots on.
News? Yes. Good? No. See you soon.
There was no time for talking about anything other than the current crisis. I am such a coward, I was actually relieved.
Saddle up, fur boy. Let's roll.
Saul managed to work his fingers free of the dashboard and gave me a look qualifying as sardonic.
You're a menace.
I was already unbuckling myself.
What? You don't like riding with girls in cars? I thought out on the res that was the main form of entertainment. And having a touch of precognitive ability does help in traffic, you know?
I opened my door and stepped out into a pre-dawn full of grayness. We would have an autumn thunderstorm before long. The heat was already becoming close and dense.
Riding, I like. Committing suicide by automobile, I don't.
He actually did seem a little green, and that cheered me up immensely. The street was quiet and residential, with a few lush green belts taking advantage of the river's proximity. I habitually calculated angles of cover as we walked toward the flashing reds and blues, yellow crime scene tape fluttering as they roped off the entire yard. Forensics was out in force, and I saw three white coroner's vans.
Hey, country boy, you're still alive, aren't you? I hope you didn't leave any finger marks in my dash.
He was again way too close to me, almost bumping me as we walked along, perfectly coordinating his steps with mine.
Next time, I drive.
Dream on.
Nobody drives my baby but me.
Your baby?
I ran my tongue along the inside of my teeth, wishing my cheeks weren't flush hot.
What's the matter with me? What's the matter with him?
I rebuilt her. I drive her.
You rebuilt her?
I stopped and rounded on him, my second spare leather trench coat swirling. He stopped as well, with perfect balance, not running into me or even stumbling. The stormlight was good to his face, and silver winked in one of his braids. I took a closer look. It was the twisted remains of the silver bracelet from Galena's, tied into his hair like the charms tied into mine with red thread. Nameless fury worked up inside of me. I throttled it.
Look, I don't know what game you're playing, but it stops here. I've got a job to do, and the less I'm distracted, the less people will die. I want this goddamn rogue and this goddamn hellbreed off my streets, and safely dead, if at all possible. Whatever you're doing, quit. I don't have time for it.
He studied me for a few seconds.
I'm not playing a game.
Then what the hell just happened? Or is that some arcane wear protocol I don't know about? I don't hunt your kind. I don't know all their ins and outs. Whatever it is, stop.
I figured that covered about everything.
I'm here to help.
He looked away, at the plain two-story frame house being swarmed by Santa Luz's finest.
There's Harp.
Just like a goddamn wear, looking away and changing the subject. Fine. Just stay off my back. Goddamn wares and their goddamn non-committal noises.
Harp was standing, fists on hips, on the porch. She looked tense and furious, the feathers in her braids fluttering and her jaw set.
Great.
I ducked under the yellow tape, nodding at the uniform on duty. It was Willie the Mouse, who flinched when his eyes hit mine, his left hand coming up to touch his right shoulder. A traitor had taken a chunk out of him once. Before I could get there and put it down in a welter of blood and screaming. Not to mention the stink of roasted flesh because the apartment complex had been burning down around us. So many of my memories are tinged with smoke and blood. I dropped my eyes as Saul ducked under the yellow tape behind me.
He's with me, Willie. How's the shoulder?
Mikhail had once rescued him from two traitors and an Archeus. That was before my time.
Poor, unlucky Willie.
It still hurts sometimes, Jill. Thanks.
He needed a solid 2 years of therapy before he stopped waking up screaming, I'd heard. The chasm between us yawned wide.
But at least he's still alive. That's worth something, isn't it?
A knot of forensic techs swarmed around a particular spot in the dry grass of the yard. I saw Foster's sleek, ponytailed head. He nodded and pointed up at Harp, a quick sketch of a movement.
In other words, I'll catch you later. Go see the Phoebe. Hey, Harp. What's a girl like you doing in a place like this?
Her quick smile was iron tense, a mere flicker.
The usual. Blood and chaos. Smells like you just had dinner. Sorry to miss it.
I hopped up the steps and got a nose-watering dose of the smell from the open front door.
Ugh.
Rogue ware, hellbreed, and death. The mixed reek scraped across my nerves and turned them even more raw.
You won't believe who's in town.
At this point, I'd believe just about anything. Come inside, I want to show you something.
Harp, Navashte Neve Arcades here from New York. I came across him while I was cleaning out a trader hole. Perry's off making amends and smoothing the troubled waters since Saul knifed Arcady, and I clocked him with a sun sword. The Hellbreed we're looking for, our pretty blonde girl, is Navashte Sive Chenchi, Navashte's daughter.
Harp actually went pale. Her eyes flickered to Saul. He came up, looming behind me, and actually bumping into me again, softly. I moved away, irritably, and peered in the front door.
And there's even more, Harp. Hang on to your hat, because this one is weird.
She still stared at Saul.
She looked at him like she'd caught him eating babies. The wearer behind me responded by moving even closer, crowding me so I felt his chest touch my back. I stepped away, to my left, taking in the front door's white paint and two deadbolts.
Whoever lived here had been cautious. Fat lot of good it did him.
Saul moved in on me again.
Quit it! What is wrong with you? Harp, did you hear me? The head Hellbreed on the East Coast is in my city, and he's after his daughter, who I'm told has been a very busy girl.
Her mouth opened, shut, as if she couldn't find the words.
I also know why she's hanging around with our boy Carnivore. If another hunter hadn't told me, I wouldn't believe it.
Jill.
She still stared at Saul.
I've had about enough of this. It isn't like you, Harp. Come on, Agent Smith. Show me yours. I'll tell you mine. And we might have a chance at stopping this thing.
Dominic greeted me with a nod. He crouched, low and easy, in front of the cellar door. He was standing guard in case the rogue came back to his little nest and found a bunch of humans here. I felt a chill trace down my spine at the thought. The ground floor of the house was oddly pristine. Here, in the kitchen, where the door to the cellar stood wide open, stairs going down, and that smell belching up in waves, there were clean white countertops and a rack full of washed dishes with a thin layer of dust on them. A blue wash rag lay folded over the arch of the faucet, dried stiff. The table was layered with papers. The garage, visible through a wide open door leading off the kitchen, held two cars. One of them, a minivan with car seats.
I don't want to think about that.
The only sign of violence was one of the chairs pushed over backward, and a single smear of dark liquid on the clean floor.
Family of four. Near as I can figure, someone opened the front door and got subdued, then was brought back here to where someone else was doing bills. Everything on the table's dated for last month. I think this family was the first to go down, and he's probably been dragging kills back here. There's another entrance to the cellar out back. Theron's out there. He's the one that found a trail in this neighborhood.
Theron was the bartender at Mickey's. A lean, dangerous werepanther. Good backup, even if he was an arrogant twit. If he was out in the backyard, I didn't have to worry about the people out there. It was a relief to know.
Well?
Harp's voice came from the living room. Dominic's eyebrow twitched, an eloquently inquiring look.
Don't ask me. I don't know what the hell's going on. Your friend Saul seems to have a gift for pissing Harp off. So, there's car seats in the garage. What's upstairs?
Please tell me I'm wrong. Tell me we found the kids alive.
Three bedrooms, two decorated for cubs. Both with beds messed up like the little ones just got up for a drink of water.
He tilted his head back slightly, indicating the cellar. His eyes glowed briefly, very sad.
My guess is down there. I'd love to be wrong.
But it's not fucking likely, is it? Scene's been held for me. What else is down there, Dom? Drop the other shoe.
The look he gave me qualified as scathing.
Of course. Harp and I took a look at it from the stairs, that's all. Something down there stinks of sorcery, and that's your job. There's enough in the yard and around the door to keep the humans busy for a while. Take your time.
I just eased past him and through the door. Wooden steps went down, concrete walls dry gleaming with oil under the gassy reek of bodies. The smell of dandruff and hot, spoiled musk was
eye-watering. I was glad I had stopped for a fresh copper cuff. The air itself was caustic. Add the Swedish rot of Hellbreed, and I suddenly wished very hard that I hadn't eaten dinner. The memory of Saul's mouth on mine rose. I pushed it away with an almost physical effort.
Distraction is the last thing I need.
Shelves on my right held cans and jars. Non-perishables, laid in for a rainy day. I caught sight of a can of Chef Boyardee, and my stomach turned hard, thinking of two small rumpled beds upstairs.
Of all the things about this job I hate, that's the worst. Kids are the worst.
Kid cases can cut you right down to bone and bleed you for months.
If not forever.
I kept an eye out for critters. They weren't likely down here in a concrete cube, but you never know. The steps turned to the right, a 180 that slowly revealed a dusty, disused cellar. In the back left corner, as far away from the stairs and the door to the backyard as possible, a trap door, just like Annie M's, was a tangled mess of shapes.
Oh, God.
White bone peeped through, glimmering in the dark. One electric bulb in the ceiling did nothing to dispel the darkness. A curtain of glaucous night shielded the corner. A shimmer like heat off pavement mixed with night's obscurity, only pulling aside to show small glimpses of whatever lay beyond. Tangled over the bodies was a sorcerous shell of concealment, laid with power and exquisite care. The shield drew tight, alert as my aura fluoresced in the ether, the sea urchin spikes of my personal borders poking through, sparking against the contamination of Hellbreed, then retreating. It nagged at me. Even with what Clark had told me, something was wrong here. One instrument was out of tune, screwing up the whole symphony.
Deal with what you've got in front of you, Jill. Analyze later when the scene's safe.
The ruby warmed at my throat. Silver chimed in my hair, shifting and heating up. I shut my dumb eye, my blue eye piercing the strings of sorcery, a shifting pattern of darkness and occasional body flashes.
She does good work, this Chenchi.
The copper cuff snapped free of my wrist of its own accord. The scar turned into a brand, wet heat tracing obscenely up my arm, following the branching channels of nerves and veins. I lifted my right hand, black fire twisting around my fingertips as I pulled etheric force through the scar and down my wrist, a low cycling through the concrete. Pitch a Levin bolt low enough and you can actually shatter glass or work a hole in pavement. The drawback is, it takes a lot of energy. Energy I had to burn now. One reason to be glad I'd made my bargain with Perry.
Oh, very nice work. If I push there, it traps me. If I take it apart here, the backlash knocks me down. Huh. You're a sneaky bitch, aren't you? Daddy must have taught you well.
I set my feet on the last stair. My coat flapped. A hot breeze lifting from nowhere, teasing my cheeks and the silver weighing down my hair. Sparks crackled, Mikhail's ring burning on my left hand, the ruby at my throat spitting again and again, warning me. Levenbolt flames swirled counterclockwise, coming to a tapered point like a narwhal's horn. Cupped in my palm, the spire of etheric energy trembled, cycling up.
More chill. Give it more.
My attention centered on the Levenbolt straining to wriggle free. It takes a particular relaxed fierceness to hold this much energy still, corralling it to one's will. Sorcery isn't for those who can't relax and concentrate. If Harp and Dominic had come down off the stairs, they would have triggered the trap. I'd have been looking at a severely wounded pair of wares, maybe even critically damaged.
Good thing they've got me.
I bent my knees, sinking down, compressing myself. My fingers were scorched where the Levenbolt pulled on the nerves and yearned to fly free. My coat pooled behind me. The silver in my ammo, knives, and jewelry responded to the contamination of a Hellbreed curse in the air. straining toward me just as the bolt strained to escape my control.
Do it fast, Jill. Go for the quick tear.
I leapt, uncoiling, right hand flung forward, the bolt crackling through the first few layers of the sorcerer's shield and piercing, sticking fast. Then, all that contained force suddenly finding itself free. Potential became kinetic. I landed, driven to one knee by the backlash of energy bouncing off concrete walls and buffeting my aura. A shower of sparks fell from my hair. One huge bloody point of light from the ruby at my throat.
Ugh.
I shook the deep, hideous noise out of my head. It was like the world's biggest gong vibrating inside my skull.
Easy as cake, Jill. Your usual fine work.
My right hand spread against the cold concrete floor, my leather-clad knee soaking up a chill, too. I raised my head slowly. Very slowly.
Oh, shit. It wasn't a shield to keep the bodies from being found.
It had been a protection laid on the rogue ware, sleeping in his nest of meat and snapped bone.
He's not sleeping anymore.
His eyes were flat with beast shine in the dim light, and he crouched on the slope of mounded bodies. He was halfway between his animal form and human, neither one nor the other. And as a result, well, most wares are beautiful and graceful in their human forms, and just as beautiful in their animal forms. The state in between is never someplace they linger, and it is just as graceful as the rest of them, but subtly wrong. Wrong like a non-human geometry. Wrong like a note no human instrument can produce. Wrong like a hellbreed's face when they drop the mask of humanity. Wrong like something spoiled. Gone rotten. All aware's power and glory thrown away for the lust of the hunt and the consummation of murder. That's what going rogue means. I stared into the rogue's eyes for a long moment. The bizarre insanity of its gaze. Terrible because of the near humanity of its suffering. A hunter takes on hellbreed. That's true. But a were gone rogue, gone berserk, is different. Just like for a were, taking on a traitor is one thing, but fighting a full-fledged breed is something else. Rogue wares move with the speed that pulls muscle free of bone, a thoughtless, scary speed, married to weight and momentum that isn't trackable like a hellbreed's tearing through space. On most hunts, wares run backup for hunters. On a hunt for a rogue, hunters most definitely run backup for other wares, because if we don't, we tend to catch flak and die. Then it leapt for me, and I had no time to jump free. He collided with me, his claws out, the impact so immense I didn't even feel my ribs snap as I was flung against the concrete wall. I hovered between awareness and star-filled black unconsciousness.
She's downstairs.
I was picked up and tossed again, bones snapping as I hit another unforgiving surface. The pain crested over me in a wave, and I yanked instinctively at the scar. Flesh scorching as for one vertiginous moment, I pulled on every erg of etheric energy available to me. The print of Perry's lips on my flesh turned molten with sick, heated delight. The rogue came for me again, and I flung my hand out, a bolt of pure power boiling up into the orange spectrum at its edges as it streaked through the potential path in the air and smashed the rogue ass over tea kettle into the knot of wares suddenly crowding into the cellar's dinginess. The light bulb broke, smoking dust motes of glass peppering the air. Sparks hissed and flew. The ruby at my throat sang. Agony raced down my arm, exploded in my chest, tore itself through my belly and detonated in my left leg, where the femur had snapped.
Ah! Oh God, get up, Jill, get up!
I pulled on the scar again. Bones melded together. All the pain of weeks compressed into a single moment. My ribcage snapped out to its proper dimensions, jagged ends of broken ribs sliding free of delicate tissue.
Ah! It hurts, it hurts. Oh God, it hurts.
I
tried to get up, to fight, to strike back at the thing hurting me, to meet the pain head on, to smash at it, batter it away.
Get up, Nelaya, on your feet and fight!
I made it to hands and knees, felt for a gun with my left hand. My right was so hot I was afraid it would detonate bullets in the clip. A burst of fresh air blasted through the cellar, gray light flooding in. Shadows fled out against the square of light. Blood sprayed from my lips.
Losing a lot of the red stuff, Jill. Just think, the Red Cross could follow you around and make a killing. Get it? Make a killing.
Get up! Get up and fight!
Jill!
Move! Fight back! Kill! The gun came up, my shoulders hitting the wall. My boots scrabbled in blood. My blood, thick and slippery on the cracked concrete floor. I was on the knife edge of murder. The Glock pointed straight between Saul's eyes, less than an inch from his skin. My finger ached to clamp down on the trigger. Adrenaline sang in my mouth, pounded in my blood.
You okay?
He was looking past the gun like it wasn't even there. Like I wasn't crazed with fear and about to snap, sail right over the edge and fill him with silver jacket lead. I ached to shoot something. Anything. When you live from one violent fight to the next, it becomes a habit. A need to pull the trigger, an instinctive life-saving reflex. The animal in you clamors to strike out with claws, teeth, anything at hand. He must have seen the murder in me. There was no way he could miss it. Saul's eyes held mine for what seemed like eternity. Behind him were other wares.
It's okay, kitten. Everything's under control. It's all fine. It's all right.
My thumb came up, clicked the hammer all the way back, eased it gently down. Saul's fingers curled over the gun, pushed it aside, as if it was the most natural thing in the world. He took my shoulders and pulled me away from the wall. His arms folded around me.
You okay? Say something.
Fuck. Where did he go? Where is he?
He bolted south. There's a full pack of wares after him. Dominic went with them.
What's Saul doing here? He should be chasing the rogue. Go. You're a tracker. Go. He should go after the rogue that killed his sister. But he's staying here to make sure I'm all right. Why? I didn't know. And I didn't care. For that one moment, someone looked into my eyes and saw past every wall I'd ever built to protect myself. And I could swear I saw past every wall he'd ever built in his head, too. And that something in me, something deep and buried, something bruised and battered but still strong, recognized him, knew him, somehow.
I'll be back.
He rose in a swift wave, letting go of the gun, and was gone through the shattered door into the backyard. His shadow briefly made of black paper against the grayness of dawn. The air swirled with electricity. I shut my eyes. Storm coming. Probably hit this afternoon. Why did he do that? This is getting surreal even for me. And that's saying something.
What the fuck is going on? Kismet? Care to clue me in?
I leaned my head back against the freezing concrete of the wall. John Clark called from New York. He told me Navashte had trapped a ware for his own amusement. Damaged him. But Navashte's daughter set the ware free and fled with him. We've got a major paranormal incident shaping up. God knows what she wants that ware for. And I've got a goddamn breed capable of a psychic nuke looking to make this more difficult than it has to be. That was only half of what John had told me. But I knew better than to open my mouth about the rest of it.
That's bullshit, John. I'm surprised at you.
Somehow, Arcadi's daughter bred with a rogue ware. She's pregnant, and her daddy's after her.
What authority do you have it on?
The best authority, Kiss. Watch your ass out there. There's no telling what will happen if this situation gets out of control.
The trouble is, it's already out of control. Ware don't like Hellbreed, and Hellbreed don't like them. But John wouldn't tell me that if it wasn't true. Hunters don't lie about this sort of shit. Even a little white lie can kill a hunter, and there are too few of us as it is. I should have been pushing myself to get up, clean myself off, and do something to stop this immense clusterfuck in progress. Instead, I was thinking of Saul Dust Circle's eyes, and feeling the electricity that went through me at the memory of his skin on mine. He knew me. Or for one brief, endless second, he saw right through me. It was the same thing. He had somehow recognized what I was, down at the bottom of my soul. And he had still held me. Get up, Jill. Get back on the horse. You don't have time for this. Not while there are people dying and a rogue on the loose. Everything else can wait. Cleaning up wasn't as bad as I'd feared. Most of the forensic techs had been in the front yard, poking at a suspicious patch of grass dying under the weight of a viscous, rapidly decaying fluid that might have been oil. I couldn't figure out what the liquid was. Even after scanning it with my blue eye, it reeked of Hellbreed and death, blackening the grass underneath. The techs took samples, but I didn't think they'd get anything. Hellbreed tissues break down quickly once they're damaged, and this stuff seemed no exception. The rest of the cops hadn't seen the rogue shatter out of the cellar, or the collection of changed and unchanged wares streaking after it.
Thank God for small favors.
The bodies in the cellar had been untangled by forensics, gently and thoroughly. I couldn't see the cavalcade of blue rubberized bags as they went out the front door, but I heard it each time a coroner's van started up.
I will avenge you, whoever you are. I will grant you vengeance on the thing that did this to you.
I left the copper cuff off, paying my penance with each eye-watering puff of stench striking across my sensitive nostrils. I even told myself the hot water slicking my cheeks was just from the smell. Harp leaned against the wall inside the shattered cellar door. I sat on the steps, going up to free air and a day overcast with thunder, yellow-green storm light drenching my shoulders from behind. She had settled into immobility, her eyes lambent with the weird light. Mike Foster detached himself from the organized hive of activity and crossed over to us, peeling off his latex gloves. His sleek ponytail wasn't mussed, but his eyes were haunted, with dark circles to rival my own growing underneath.
You okay?
What's the count? That wasn't what I meant. What I wanted to say was, did you find the children? Tell me you didn't.
13.
His eyes met mine. Spoke for a long moment.
Two of them.
He didn't have to finish the sentence. I closed my eyes. The worst thought of all returned. That there had been dust on the counter and the dishes, and bills from last month on the table. I should have known. I should have somehow saved them.
That's everyone. We'll ID them if we can. There's no clothes or anything hanging around. That's weird.
Not so weird if a Hellbreed is cleaning up afterward. It's like them to minimize the information you can get from a scene.
I hauled myself wearily to my feet.
Buzz me if you need me, okay?
I wanted to howl and beat my head against the concrete. I wanted to take off blindly running south after the rogue and the hunting pack of wares trailing him. Hopefully, he had already been brought to bay and dispatched.
Hopefully.
Foster flinched as he met my gaze. The silver chimed in my hair, tinkling sweetly.
Jill. Look. Be careful, okay? This is bad. Bodies, they've been...
His eyes cut over to Harp.
Savaged. Chewed up. You'll find muscle mass gone and organs missing, as well as splintered bones.
Mike winced. Visibly shaken. I reached out blindly. Mike's hand met mine and I squeezed briefly, gently. The scar pulsed on my wrist, sensing human flesh and high emotional distress. I reined myself in with a physical effort.
Sorry, Mike. See the psych boys for some downers if you have to, okay?
It's not me I'm worried about, Jill. It's you. You're looking a little worn out.
So they tell me. When the night side slows down, I will too. Harp came up and into the backyard as well. Her fingers closed around my arm.
Jill.
I stared across the yard at the greenbelt behind the house. There were bushes back there. Dusty greens and grays ran together in front of my eyes, and I was suddenly sure it would be a good place to watch the house from. I caught no breath of being watched, but you don't live long as a hunter without checking the terrain. Harp's fingers didn't loosen. She could break my arm without half trying with a ware's strength. Of course, I could heal in moments and repay her with interest. What am I thinking? She's my friend, and she's aware. I'm too close to the edge if I'm even thinking like this. But the engine in my head didn't stop turning over the probabilities, evaluating every single living thing around me. When you can't turn that machine off, it's time to get some rest. Unless, of course, you can't rest because the bodies are piling up. Harp didn't shake me, but I got the idea she wanted to.
What's going on?
I wish I knew. I only have half the pieces of
No! I mean with you and Saul.
Damn it. I don't know there either. You're the one who sicked him on me. Besides, he thinks I'm tainted. Oh, good one, Jill. Why did he swap spit with you then? And so nicely, too. I felt the flush creeping up my cheeks again. Couldn't stop it. God damn it all to hell.
He apologized. He didn't understand, and you know what reswares are like.
My teeth wanted to grind together. Not so much. I never worked with a reswear before.
Oh!
I pulled away from her hand, achieved exactly nothing, felt the temptation to grab her wrist and lock it, give the quick jerk to dislocate and bring my knee up.
Calm down, Jill. She's not the enemy here.
Let go, Harp. I'm not in the mood.
He's acting possessive.
Who?
Saul.
Is that what it is? I dug my right hand in my pocket and fished the damn pager out.
Let go!
It's Galena. She gave up, letting go of my arm.
Just be careful, Jill. Don't break his heart.
I cannot believe I'm having this conversation with you. Why don't you keep him away from me? Where's don't date humans, Harp? I swung away from her. Now I'm going after that goddamn hellbreed. Buzz me if you need me.
You're not exactly fully human anymore, Kismet.
I smelled the impending rain and hunched my shoulders. I wanted to shout, yes, I am. I am still human, and humans don't date wares.
Yeah, but rogue wares don't work with Hellbreed either. And Hellbreed don't make bargains with hunters.
Pigs were going to start flying any moment now. Galena's shop was shut up tighter than an oyster. The sign turned to closed and the blinds on the front windows drawn. Her back door was closed and locked too, and the red-orange carapace of sanctuary shielding wedded to the walls resounded easily, crackling with the charge in the air. The storm was coming in fast.
Oh.
I was more uneasy than ever.
I can't break in and poke around inside her house without dealing with the sanctuary bindings. And if she isn't answering, she's either out or retreated to her inner sanctum for some work.
The latter was more likely. Sanks don't often go abroad.
Then who the hell called me from here? And would Galena be out with a rogue ware on the streets? Not to mention the Hellbreed action recently.
I eyed the porch roof over her back door. I cased the roof thoroughly. Even sweeping behind the glass cube of the greenhouse where Galena grew all sorts of fun stuff. I mean, where else are you going to get your hellebore mandrake if not from your local sank? Even the emergency hatch behind an AC unit was closed and stubborn. I moved to the edge of the roof and peered down the deserted street.
I don't like this.
I felt a slight prickling between my shoulder blades, as if I was being watched.
Nerves? God knows I'm having a little trouble with mental balance lately.
Getting almost killed twice in one day can do that to you.
It's not the getting killed that's worrying you, Jill. It's a ware. Specifically, a ware who's getting possessive, in Harp's immortal phrase.
It took a physical effort to get my mental train off that track.
Oh, stay focused, Jill.
I eased along the edge of the roof to peer down at the front of the store. Stray bits of paper skipped down the pavement. I caught a breath of diesel and a powerful hit of green-gray river water and the ozone smell of approaching lightning. The street was deserted, lamps flickering into life in the gathering artificial twilight. A glass and iron box a block up caught my eye, and my skin roughened instinctively. I felt cold all over, my breath shortening and my nipples peeking under my t-shirt, hard as chips of rock.
Phone booth. Galena's got her number stenciled on her front window, and my pager's not exactly a secret. I'm a goddamned idiot.
The cloak of red-orange energy over the building shivered restively. I froze. The hammer cocking sounded very loud behind me.
Don't move. Keep facing the street, Hunter.
I've been shot before, Navashte Sivchenchi.
But I stayed where I was, my back alive with goose flesh and the knowledge that a breed who had nearly eviscerated me and made mincemeat out of harp was behind me with a gun.
That click sounded like a large caliber model. Or maybe it's just my nerves again. She's behind me. She had to have come up from the porch roof. Was she watching from down the street? How did she get my pager number? It isn't a secret, but still. Damn it. Galena had better be inside her sanctum. If you've touched her, I will kill you.
The rage subsided with an effort that left me shaking, struggling to think clearly through the adrenaline haze.
It isn't logical. Even a hellbreed can't harm a sank inside her own house. Galena's too smart to go outside, isn't she?
Wasn't she? I waited.
Patience, Malaya. It is soft and quiet that catches mouse.
Only this mouse has the drop on me, and a gun to boot.
You've killed to find me, to flush me out of safety.
The Ware's being chased. He'll be killed mercifully. You, however, are a whole different ball of wax. Two children. And Jimmy Chung, you bitch. And cleaning up? What kind of game are you playing?
The silence behind me took on a predatory cast. The paws of a shark in the moment just after blood hits the water and right before the frenzy. Galena's building thrummed underneath me, quivering with unease. Slowly waking up, catching the current of bloodlust passing between my unprotected back and the hellbreed behind me.
I should kill you. We don't want trouble. I just wanted to be left alone to do what I have to do. Is that so much to ask?
When your father's Navashte Neve Arcady? Alone doesn't happen, sweet cheeks. You're breed. You know that.
So you're going to do his dirty work.
I gathered myself. My right hand curled loosely around the whip handle.
Just keep talking, bitch. I'm a few seconds away from changing your whole religion for good. I don't do dirty work. I avenge my people. Like the rookie cop you put in the hospital. He'll never be right again, even with therapy and the best of care. You ruined a life, and you did it so easily.
I eased my weight forward onto the balls of my feet, a millimeter at a time.
They shot at him. I was quick. I was as merciful as I could be. But you, you're doing my father's dirty work.
There's a break in that sweet, corrupt voice. Does she use it to hook her prey? Like Arcady uses his black, black eyes?
I rose, the flesh on my back crawling with the knowledge that a bullet might be coming any moment.
If she's aiming for my head, this might all be over very quickly.
I would find out if hunters really went to hell when they finally got unlucky.
I'm doing what I should, to protect the citizens of my city. I'm a hunter, Hellspawn. It's what I do. She's not shooting me. She's not acting like a hellbreed.
Fat drops of rain began to patter down dispiritedly. They made stinging quarter-sized dollops on the dusty, hot rooftop. Sweat pricked under my arms and at the small of my back. My fingers shifted slightly, ever so slightly, on the whip handle.
I told you not to move.
Cool now. She's made up her mind what she's going to do. Maybe I've even been premature in thinking she isn't acting like a hellspawn.
Maybe she was just playing with me. Cat with mouse.
In other words, bad luck for you, Jill. But if you're a mouse, you're a mouse with claws.
I polished my very best fuck you tone.
What are you going to do?
If you shoot me, other hunters will take my place. Your daddy's in town, and he's pissed off because you stole his wear toy. There's a major incident shaping up over him even having a wear toy.
He isn't my father's! He's mine!
I spun, diving, the whip flashing free and my left-hand gun clearing leather. The whip's ribbon curled through the air and struck her across the face. Black, hellbreed ichor flew in a flattening arc before she smashed into me, catching me in midair and throwing us both over the edge. Wind whistled, and we hung in free fall, the silver in my hair spitting and crackling. She struck me across the cheekbone. A good punch if she'd had all or even some of her weight behind it. A hot gush of pain as her claws buried themselves in my chest, tangling in my ribs, before she could jerk her wrist down and spill my guts. My back arched, and the protections on Galena's house woke in a sheet of blinding crimson and orange flame.
She sure doesn't act like a pregnant woman. Maybe it's hormones.
Fisted one hand in her long platinum hair, and I brought the gun up, pistol whipping her across the face. More black ichor flew, spattering my skin in stinging drops. Falling and fighting 101, brace someone's head when you're bouncing a gun off them. It hurts more. I got in another two shots on the way down before we hit pavement. Snapping in the structures of my skeleton again, and her claws were torn free, a hot gush of blood following them.
No wonder I need steak. I'm losing iron left and right.
Chenchi rolled free, dazed and shaking her head. The smell of scorching rose, and Galena's protections flamed again, dilating like a camera shutter. The sky opened its floodgates on us both.
Get away, get away, get away!
I rolled as the scar boiled with acid, desire-laced pain, and shot a jolt of power up my arm, sinking into veins and jacking through my system like a needle load of something deadly. A sharp clarity bolted through me. I made it to my knees with both guns out. My first two bullets caught her, but she collided with me again. There was no technique this time. It was sheer blind rage and overwhelming strength, which is a hellbreed's downfall. Reflex had loosened my knees and let go of my right-hand gun. I socked my hip into her midriff, and I didn't need to do much. Just grab a fistful of her and shove to deflect a critical millimeter or two. Her blind rush providing all the impetus necessary to throw her directly into Galena's plate glass window. A wall of concussive force slammed outward, tossing me like a rag doll across the street and into the brick facing opposite. Heat bloomed, and superheated air broke the sound barrier, thunder rolling down the street. I lie on the pavement and listen to her stumbling footsteps as the hellbreed fled. Galena's defenses settled, rumbling through the pavement like a subway.
Sanctuary rule numero uno. Do not throw yourself at the sanctuary's walls.
The protections respond without any conscious effort, and the response is energetic, to say the least. Other footsteps approached me at what seemed a very slow rate next to the rapid pitter-patter of little hellbreed feet.
Oh, God. Jill, are you all right?
Well, I am getting really tired of being flung around.
Warm trickles of blood slid down my neck from my ears, dripped from my nose. I blinked more warm wetness out of my eyes. The pain came then, a great rolling breaker of it as my body coped with the damage.
I'm racking up one hell of a bill with Perry.
Then came a small, noiseless thought.
I wish Saul was here. I'd like to see him.
When had I started being happy to see a disdainful country boy where? When he'd kissed me? Or when he'd stayed to make sure I was still breathing after tangling with a rogue?
You've got bigger problems, Jill. Get up and start fighting. It's what you know how to do. Subdue it.
I blinked and looked up. Galena's hot mortal fingers pressed against my clammy forehead.
Get up!
Coruscating energy sparkled in the air around her. She was actually dividing her sanctuary spell, protecting me as ripples of power boomed and echoed, potential paths opening as lightning blurred down. Smoke boiled up, a and the storm kicked up in earnest. I made it to my feet. I leaned on Galena as she half-dragged my heavy self, muscle dense, hellbreed strong, weighed down with leather and metal and ammo, across the street under lashing rain slicking down her hair and mine. She smacked the door to her shop open. I collapsed on the floor near her glassed-in counter, next to a bookcase and a rack of candles. My body curled into a ball.
I think I'm going to spend the next few hours on the floor, shaking, and drinking some of Galena's spiced rum.
Alas, such was not meant to be, because as soon as I shut my eyes and sagged against the floor, really wanting to shut the world out for a while, the protections thrummed, a mounting note of energy just aching to be unleashed.
Take one more step towards her, Pericles, and you'll be thrown back to hell screaming. And while you're at it, close the door.